Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Specialists are back, and we are recapping episode number 6 of Deal or No Deal Island. And Will, we're done recapping episode number 6 of Deal or No Deal Island. I'll thank you all for listening, and thanks for liking the video, subscribing to the channel. That's pretty much what happened on this episode. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, an episode of TV that we watched.
You know what the bummer of this one is?
Oh, I think it's very clear and obvious.
I
didn't like the red dynamite and the explosions.
That's what you didn't like?
No, that was the real issue, I think, with this episode.
I think what's frustrating about this is this show had gained some serious momentum. It was getting more eyes on it. Our recap episode last week was our third highest one. Like we've done the dip, and now we're on the way back up. So people are starting to care a little bit more, which is a nice thing. It seems like people are actually starting to seek out Deal or No Deal Island. What is this show? Maybe they missed a couple weeks and now they're catching up. And this was a momentum killer. It was a momentum stopper. And the thing is, for all of the cool stuff that happened in the episode, the fact that this ultimately just ended with nothing, I don't know what you're supposed to take from it.
I'm baffled. I agree with you completely. It's a total momentum killer, especially in a season one, a brand new show, brand new format. I mean, obviously they didn't know the trajectory of their audience at this point when it would air. But like you said, it was basically, hey, there's this show, Deal or No Deal Island, coming out. A lot of people go, that's corny. That's stupid. That makes no sense. I don't get that. And then enough people are like, hey, I'll give that show a shot. Let's see. Boston Rob's on it. We got some briefcases. We're on like this sexy island. The banker's back with his yacht. Let's tune in. And I do think it took a few episodes for this show to start kind of cooking. And it was like we said last week was like the best episode of the show. And I think you could feel the buzz. You could really feel that momentum, as you said, and for this to be basically a non-elimination leg like Amazing Race. I remember we were recapping Amazing Race some time ago, and I am not an Amazing Race fan whatsoever. And one of the episodes was like, oh, we get to the end of the race and it's a non-elimination leg. I said, that's even a thing? That's really a part of the show's DNA that it can just pull out and say, we're not eliminating this week? I was shocked by it. And you're like, yeah, it's kind of been in the show. And maybe that's just something that's kind of lingered. And I don't know. I feel like Deal or No Deal maybe was like, oh, yeah, we can do this. Like The Amazing Race does it once or twice a season. It's fine. You play the challenge. You still have the people. We're building towards the final case. We still have that big momentous ending to this case value that we absolutely don't care about at all.
0%.
So it's, maybe they just thought it was okay. This is a bad, bad move for whatever executive or team of executives approved this format concept. Clearly the episode order was high. I think we're getting what, 12 total episodes?
I think we're only getting 10, honestly. I think it's over 12. By the end of this month. No, I think it's done April 29th.
I think there's more. I think there's 12. I was talking to Blake yesterday. We were doing some of the connection games, and he had mentioned it's actually 12 episodes. And I think when you have a cast, the original cast size wasn't that large. They just needed to get through an episode without eliminating somebody. I don't know. It's such a bad move for the show. All right, I've kind of ranted a bit. I have more to say on it, but I'll let you take the torch from here.
Yeah, Willie D says the case should have been immunity that she could have chosen to use, but it would eliminate whatever amount was added to the prize money. Like, I even if it's not that, I thought that this case was going to be, okay, you lost, but you now get to pick who goes if you're the one who has it or something like that. Like, because then if a different team had received that banker's box, they would have been the ones who could have said, instead of the person who just won Deal or No Deal Island, that person who opens the banker's box could be the person who says, I actually get to pick who goes home tonight, not the person who just won Deal or No Deal, which could be an interesting twist on the game because they took the chance and it was a risk. They wanted this to be found, which made everything that happened in this episode a non-factor.
Right. And I think we could sit here and brainstorm and hash out some ideas for the banker's bonus case. We could probably have some really fun stuff. And I'm sure even the producer of the show probably had some fun ideas too. This seemed like a requirement from the episode order and the cast size they were given that one of these episodes, we need to not eliminate somebody. And maybe that, I don't know when that came through, that decision was made, but yeah, there's lots of fun things you could do. That would not solve the problem. How do we get through an episode without eliminating somebody? I think if you start with that problem, you don't end by saying, okay, we're just going to have the briefcase open at the end and say this doesn't mean anything. Everything we did this episode is meaningless. You know, Survivor, with all its flaws, has been very, very good about ending episodes with eliminations. Very, very good about it. I think, you know, there's only a couple episodes in the history of the show. And a lot of times, even when we don't go to tribal, someone is eliminated either by a quit or a medevac or something like that. And when we got to, I believe it was like the early 30s, of Survivor. I think once kind of Cambodian Korong happened, you know, at that point we were heavy, heavy into three tribes. You know, 25 was three tribes, 28 was three tribes, 30 was three tribes. I believe Blood vs. Water was only in the 18 people. So all 18 player seasons, and then with three medevacs on an 18 player season in Korong, they're like, damn, we like really don't have enough people left. We have to vote out a jury member. And actually, at least they did that. At least they added a little beat in there because they ran out of people. And Jeff, I think at that point was like, we got to just do 20 players. And then if you look at most of the 30s, I guess, you know, once they get to Fiji, Millennials, First Gen X, 20 players, Game Changers, 20 players, go to back three tribes for Heroes, Heroes, Hustlers. So that's 18, but then you get Ghost Island, 20, David vs. Goliath, 20, Edge of Extinction's 18, but you bring two people back in the game. So essentially 20, Island of the Idols, 20, Winners at War, 20. And then, you know,
once going with this? I'm confused.
Once we shorten our days, we get to 18. What I'm saying is Survivor has made it a big part that we cannot end episodes with a lackluster ending. And even with Erica and the Hourglass in 41, I think that's probably the biggest example of, hey, we didn't eliminate anybody. I don't want to defend the Hourglass, but at least there we were building towards something where we had half the people at the merge, and it's this big new twist that we're revealing to the fans. Let everybody digest it. You have to earn the merge. Eric is sent to this island. She can reverse what happened, and it's like, how hokey and stupid, but at least you were building to something, and that this was everything you watched actually did have some sort of influence on the future events of the show, whereas here, this just has – it's void of any meaning at all. So,
because you had people battling for immunity in this episode who didn't need it. Like Rob and Aaron, if you go back and rewatch that episode now, all of the Stephanie, thank you.
I know the players now, I feel like, except
yeah, well, Jordan. Because there's only seven of them left or something. Like you should know them at this point.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's now devoid of or void of any drama, because you know that it doesn't matter. And this wasn't, okay, we got to pull somebody from the game. It's unfortunate that you won immunity the one time you didn't need to win immunity. That's your problem. But this was literally like, they already knew going into this challenge that nobody was going to be eliminated from this episode. So now we're 6 episodes in. Blake is saying there's 12. I'm seeing online that there might be 10, but I'll trust Blake. Doesn't matter. That's not the point of this. But the point is, your midpoint of this show was just a non-elimination episode. Do you think that they're just under the assumption that this is going to be probably the least viewed episode of the show, and that's why they dumped this in right here? Like, if they were going to do a non-elimination, like, why did they choose episode 6 is what I'm trying to figure out.
I do not know. I think it's a really, really bad choice, because especially with how people are watching TV, we've talked about this a lot. It's like a lot of people wait a few episodes in before they'll start a show, let people be the guinea pigs. All right, you know, I know Phil is going to watch Deal or No Deal Island. I'm going to let him watch a few episodes. I'm not going to waste my time until I hear good things about it. Some people don't watch these shows until it's all episodes have aired and they can binge it. I know a lot of people, they're like, I just can't wait week to week when I watch shows like this. I just want to power through it. And that's a shame, because they can't join us in our podcast week to week.
Yeah.
But man, like you said it so well, momentum killer. I mean, there's probably, maybe it's not a huge number, but enough people to be like, okay, that was so dumb and a waste of my time. I'm not going to ever watch the show again. Like, that will be the last episode a lot of people watch.
Well,
Out of spite or out of like, that was dumb, or they're like thinking super hard into like, oh, that whole thing was pointless. It's like a subconscious thing. Like, now when you think about this show, you have this idea. It's like a heuristic where it's like, that was a waste of my time. Deal or No Deal Island equals waste of time in my brain. A little shortcut. So that when you go to watch it again, you go, no, I don't want to watch that.
And we talked about it last week. It's, again, a lot of people are staying up till 11 o'clock at night to watch this, because it starts at 10. So if you just stayed up on the Monday night after Easter, maybe you had a long weekend, you got an Easter Monday off, you had Good Friday off, maybe you just had a 4-day weekend, you stay up late because you have a little bit extra energy, and that's the episode you watch, you go, I'm not doing that next week. There's no way in hell I'm doing that next week. And like, just, I mean, this is obviously a small sample size, and I know we're recording this at noon today, which is when I did my Godzilla podcast yesterday. If you haven't checked that out, go listen to it, because barely anybody did, probably because John and I recorded at noon. We didn't want to do nighttime, but we're recording at a weird time. But last week, Will, we had almost 30 people watching live, which for Deal or No Deal Island is a very good number, especially since we recorded during the day, similar time to what we're doing right now. Right now we have 8. And I think that people, after you watch that episode last night, you say, okay, I can think about Deal or No Deal Island next Monday. Last week's episode, there was conversation that people wanted to have about this show. And I don't feel like there is much conversation. I mean, you and I normally come into this talking about how great this was, or how we're really enjoying this, or how we're really excited about what's going to come next. And you texted me at 11:45 and you're like, well, this is going to be a short one. And all I could say in response was, yeah. I mean, you and I try to go at each other a little bit. I couldn't even go at you in my text, because I was like, you're right. This is going to be a short one. This one's going to stink, because you know, you had so much building. You had the the Night Owl Alliance going head to head against Rob.
That was
fun,
too. I like that there is this counter push by the people that are supposedly not playing the game.
But it amounted to nothing.
We can talk through this episode and the things that happened, but it's hard to talk through with this episode. Like, I would love to break down the challenge and how it all works. I thought the challenge was really fun, but then it's like you said, okay, they're competing for immunity when there was no elimination. It's a non-elimination. Like, it's like when we did Amazing Race, I was baffled that those episodes even exist for such a big hit, you know, franchise show that's been on for 30 something seasons, like the Amazing Race, just mega hit that they have episodes where they go to a whole country, they run a whole race, and the people that come in first, it's like, great. And then they get to the end, they're like, oh, non-elimination leg. And people are just okay.
The one
with
thing
that
they at least do with
shocked.
That, though, is at
shocked.
Least they give prizes to first place in the Amazing Race for each leg. Whereas
like
these
what?
People literally got nothing for finishing first place.
Like, what are the prizes? I don't even remember.
They'll give them like vacations to certain locations, or they'll give them a sum of money. I know, like, there's been legs where people win, like, the team wins $5,000, or they'll win a 3-night trip to something.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, but the thing is, at least the people who won that leg where there was a non-elimination, even if it's still bad for the viewers, at least they got something out of it for winning that leg. In this episode, there was literally nothing to
still,
be gathered.
Still, that's still shocking to me. And I think someone in NBC was, you know, saying, hey guys, Amazing Race has a non-elimination legs. We can too. It's fine. It's not fine. I blame this on the Amazing Race, Phil.
Hey, if you want to go listen to our Amazing Race recaps, we're doing that as well. Not with Will, me and McKenna, even though I missed last week's, and it was McKenna and Celestina. So go check that out. If you do like the Amazing Race, you can hear positive vibes about it because Will does not bring those for that show.
I mean, I like it sort of. I feel like the conversation isn't,
I think the biggest problem too is like with the Amazing Race, they were able to say, you know, if you do this, you got to do your speed bump next round. And the speed bumps were always bullshit. They were so easy. You could complete them in 5 seconds. But in this show, this is very much trying to be a competition show a la Survivor. You are eliminating people. You are trying to defeat something. They're calling it immunity. Even though Deal or No Deal Island and Joe is not calling it immunity, they're calling it immunity. Like they're referring to this in Survivor ways where Joe is even coming out when they come to the beach. I can see your mosquito bites and you all look tired. Like Boston Rob was on Tyson's podcast the other day talking about how he's so well fed on this show. It was incredible. But I just think like they're leaning into the Survivor of it all. So to then borrow from the Amazing Race and make an entire hour of TV non-elimination based. And really it's not even setting anything up because it lost the momentum of the 4 versus 4. I don't know. Good for the editors for at least telling that story and finding something that was remotely interesting. But at the end of this episode, I just said, man, I waited to find out what was in the case.
Wait, is it 4 versus 4? That's it. Is it 4 versus 4? I feel like.
Or is it 4 versus 3? I know it's Aaron.
No,
Rob, it's
gotta,
and Alyssa.
There's 8 people left. There's 8 people left, Phil. Because yeah, you have the Owl Alliance, then you have Rob, Alyssa, Aaron, then you have Jordan, who's just like, we don't know what's going on with Jordan.
Literally forgot Jordan was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Jordan happens. Was eliminated already.
No, that was Miranda last week.
Thank you. I really did. You just said Jordan, and I said, oh shit. She wasn't on tonight's episode, was she?
She's never been on it, but she's still in the show.
She's there.
She's going to win.
She's Purple Kellying the shit out of this
thing. She's going to take this thing home.
I love it. Yeah, it's a bummer. And so talk about the challenge then. Pretend that this was an elimination leg. What did you think about this challenge?
I liked it. I thought it was really cool. The rigging and the build of the explosives was like pretty awesome, I thought. And I'm fairly certain those were practical explosions. You know, a lot of times with an explosive challenge, you know, someone's watching it and then, all right, they're like, all right, trigger the $1.5 million case. And they have a number like, all right, blow up 18 and it will then explode. This looked like I didn't see any wires coming unless they ran them underwater, which I doubt, or they use some sort of remote triggering, which I also doubt because that can be really unreliable. Mm-hmm. But these were practical fuses sticking down. They had these rods that were actually had fire that you actually would stick in this hole and light this fuse that would actually cause the thing to explode and drop. And pulling that off in the water, I think is like pretty damn cool. I like the swimming. I mean, we've seen it in Survivor a few times where it's like quest for fire, you know, keep your fire alive. Don't let it get wet. You have to go relight it. Like that is a mechanic that always works. For here, it worked really well that you had to keep it lit. And then the snakes, man, those were some vicious snakes.
Defanged? Like I'm confused. I guess they just weren't poisonous snakes. Is that essentially what it was? Or venomous?
Yeah, 100% not venomous.
But that's what I'm saying. Is that just why they were able to bite these people and it really didn't matter?
So usually with snakes, it's like you're not going to get any snake that's going to, one, be venomous, or two, and Joe even a little bit, bite that hard. Mm-hmm. It's like, he's like, yeah, they don't bite that hard.
From Austin Powers, yes.
Yeah, they usually will be pretty tempered snakes where they're chilling and hanging out, and if you do something to really piss it off, it will come and bite you, but it's like a little like pinch, you know, it's not something that, but I think it was Dawson or Nick like drew blood, and that yellow one in Boston Rob and Stephanie's thing looked like it was an angry yeah. snake, and that's kind of luck of the draw because most snakes are pretty chill. And I've done a few snake challenges like this where you bring in snakes, and sometimes you're like, man, I wish they were more aggressive. I don't know how they got their snakes so riled up. Done a similar game where you do have to reach into a same deal, kind of a pit with these whole armholes, and you have to untie knots, which releases something below. And it's kind of scary because usually, even if you move the snakes out of the way, you see the heads kind of like peering around. You're like, oh my God, my arm is here just for the taking. I like the use of snakes. They had great audio. I don't know how'd they get those snakes so pissed off. Maybe it was the temperature. Sometimes snakes get really aggravated because they are cold-blooded animals that if they're in really hot temperatures, maybe they'll act up. I know if they're cooler, they usually chill. Like we've put snakes in water before and usually they'll enjoy that. I could be wrong on the temperature thing, but I think that's something there. How are you with snakes, Phil?
I've never really encountered snakes. The only snakes I've encountered are like in LA when you're on a hiking trail and you see them and you just walk
in around. LA. That's your snake experience. Yeah,
I mean, I saw some in Arizona too. Like that was really it. I mean, yeah. I mean, I've walked through a zoo before, you know, like I've never handled snakes. I haven't worked on a show where I've had to bring snakes in.
I'm not saying that, but like, just, I feel like, of all the places to see snakes, LA is like, I know you can see them going like a random hike, but it just doesn't seem like the snakiest of places.
We used to do the one hike. I forget what it is. It wasn't Runyon. It was in the valley, and it was, I forget exactly what it was, but you'd walk up and back, up and back. It was all switchbacky. You get up top, and then when you came down the other side, it was through a neighborhood.
So you weren't actually Fryman.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Me and Steve went left one time on Fryman, and there was like a pit of snakes. Like it was just a bunch of snakes crawling over the top of each other. And we were like, we're gonna turn around and go that way. So that was, I mean, there was a legitimate amount of snakes. And then in Arizona, when you're walking around there, like in the neighborhoods and stuff, everything's very rocky and everything. So they stand out a lot and you would see them, but it's so hot in Arizona that a lot of times they're just laying there. They're not even moving. They're just literally there. And I know you were saying maybe if they're hotter, they're more, angry or more irritable or something, but like they would just lay there.
Right. Well, if you're hotter and you're irritable because you're in a pit, a really confined space with a bunch of other members of your species, it kind of can piss them off.
That's why I don't like elevators. You know, I would just start biting people. I can't help myself.
Especially a hot elevator.
Hot elevators actually are awful. It always freaks me out when you get into an elevator and that door closes and it's like an outdoor elevator and it's so hot, and then you're like, this freaking door better open. Because I got stuck in an elevator once and it was a half outdoor elevator. It was in a parking garage, but at least it was like in the winter. So it wasn't hot in there. But man, when you get those where they're like steaming hot.
Seems like you're more afraid of, you have more like claustrophobia than you do.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Snakeophobia.
Yeah, I don't really. Snakeophobia. I know agoraphobia.
Is that what it is? Because I know arachnophobia for spiders. I don't know.
I think it's agra. Oh no, it's ophidiophobia. I actually never.
No one says that. How is arachnophobia so common? Everyone just says I'm afraid of snakes. Yeah. I'm like, I don't like love snakes. I'm not like the first one to be like.
You don't go to an event like on a Venice Beach and get the woman that can put it around your shoulders and stuff.
I have had snakes put around my neck before. And it doesn't really bother me. I think I'm definitely more afraid of spiders, and not that I'm like super afraid of spiders, but there is something like a spider has 8 legs and you can feel each leg like crawling all over you, and there's something kind of like creepy and unsettling about that, whereas a snake can be a cute little buddy and he's just kind of slithering around and you know, it's a little bit more relaxing and nice having a snake.
You do realize that there are about 3 or 4 species of spider that have any legitimate chance of actually killing a human being, whereas like there are so many species, like so many types of snakes that could kill you. You should be scared of snakes, not spiders. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think any environment in which I'm dealing with snakes or spiders, that we're assuming both are non-lethal, non-threatening. So it's just all in your head anyway. And like, which one's going to be more harmful to you and which one you are more comfortable with. I think the legs crawling over is something I don't really like. And when it's one smooth thing, and it's, I think snakes can be very cute at times. They can be like good friendly pets. So I'm team snake.
You're a slimy spider guy, man. It makes sense. It totally makes sense. You give off snake vibes. So yeah, I mean, this is telling you how much we have to talk about with this episode because we're talking about snakes and fear of snakes. Will, what do you think about these alliances for next week? Is this just, is it been drawn in the sand? What also kind of sucks is you literally had a 4-4 split and it was
a 4-3-1 split.
Well, whatever it was, Jordan, doesn't matter. But you, I think you actually did have one member of each alliance in each of the pairs that they did for this, which was kind of funny, which is great. And then they wasted that opportunity. So what are you thinking moving forward? Does the Rob, Alyssa, Aaron, maybe Jordan side win out? Or is it going to be the Amy, Dawson, Nick, Stephanie side?
I think like who's going to win the game? Who's going to win the game?
Like, yeah, which side of that? Like, next week, who's going to lose? Who's going to start, like, which side?
I don't know if it's next week. I think you kind of look towards the end of the game. I think the winner is definitely more likely to come from Aaron, Alyssa, or Rob, just because I feel like we're meeting the other alliance. This is episode 6, and this is the first we're hearing of them even really playing the game. So I imagine if one of those people were to end up being our season 1 champion of Deal or No Deal Island, that we would at least seen their gameplay or their thoughts on the game before episode 6. And not that we haven't seen anything, but it's been very light strategic talk from those players. And even in this episode, they're like, wait, we're doing an alliance right now? This is what we're doing. It's like, you guys are on episode 6. You should probably have some sort of alliance if you want to win this game. I'm not saying that any of those players can't win, but to me, I feel like if Alyssa, Rob, or Aaron doesn't win, it will kind of feel like, all right, well, this game, you don't really need to play that hard, or it doesn't really matter any of the strategy because those people didn't do anything and they won. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be one of those. That's what I was going to say. My take is it has to be either Rob, Aaron, or Alyssa who wins this game. Maybe Amy with an outside chance, but even Amy, the first 3 episodes, she might as well have not even been on the show.
Yeah, Amy's not getting a traditional winner's edit if she does end up winning. But what do you think about Rob and Stephanie basically getting Amy to volunteer to play? Because that was, I think, going to be a big point of contention, especially with the split of the Night Owls being on 4 separate teams, that the winning team was going to have to agree on who to send out of the bottom 2. And the way Aaron and Rob kind of worked this, it seemed, and maybe they didn't, maybe they just got lucky, but I think clearly from Rob, his goal was not to put Aaron into play in that, rather would have Amy play.
And what I really appreciate about this, and this is again where I think the game still excels even in a bad episode, is that you have this weird what do we do moment, because you put in your person and if they win Deal or No Deal, they now get to pick somebody from the other side to go home. But if they lose, then they go home. So it does put you in a tricky position if you're the immune team every single time, because even though you'll be safe, if you're worrying about where do my numbers lie, it's very difficult to know exactly how your numbers are going to shake out. Because if you put your person in, they still have to win the game in order for that to benefit you. So are you thinking that they're going to lose or that they're going to win? And there's really no way to know how that's going to go, because as we've said numerous times throughout this, you might as well just flip a coin.
Yeah, and I think that's why I was a little bit surprised we didn't hear anything from Boston Rob about, like, hey, I want to send Aaron in, because last week Aaron told me that Alyssa was his number 1. I'm like getting ready to cut ties with Aaron. I want to convince Aaron to go play the game. He's won before. He's a smart kid. He's crunched the numbers. He's got this. Aaron, let's send you in. Then we can eliminate whoever we want. And then Boston Rob then would have a confessional on the side being like, hey, and if Aaron loses, it's not terrible for me, because now some of the heat is off of me and I can work with Alyssa maybe. But I know that Aaron is choosing Alyssa over me, so it's not the worst thing in the world if Aaron were to go home. I thought we might get something like that, but we really didn't. It became a very quick decision And I don't know if they gamed Amy or Amy was just like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I want to play. And like Aaron had already played and survived. And I think there is probably that going around the group that doesn't make the screen where it's like, all right, who's already had to do it? You know, if Aaron, you've played already, Amy, you've yet to play. So here you go, Amy. This is your chance. And, you know, maybe that had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm like losing my train of thought. I feel like I totally lost my train of thought with this. Hang on. You were talking about Aaron, and why did I just lose my train of thought?
Oh, but I was saying that Boston Rob, I feel like, should have considered putting Aaron in.
Yes, okay, yes,
and
yes,
working
yes.
with Aaron, I say, was, dude, this is what I was you got say. This. We need this to eliminate I someone. I trust you playing Amy. Over Amy.
Yeah, Amy like, is, I think Amy learned from Rob. This is what I wanted to say. I think she learned from Rob and said, if anything is going to happen, I want to be in control of my own fate. I'd rather play the game and lose than be the one who just gets pointed at and goes home. And so I think she got that. And that's exactly how Rob played it a couple weeks ago. And I think that's how she viewed it and said, screw it. I don't care. I'm just going to go in. And if I lose, I lose. And if I win, great. I'm the one in control. But I am controlling my own destiny in this game. Even though you really don't have control over your fate in this game, you just feel like you're more in control because you're the one who's making the decisions of deal or no deal and saying those words. So I think that helps.
Yeah, I do think you'd rather if you are one of the bottom two, Phil, what would you rather do? Would you rather play or not play?
I'd rather play because I also feel like it's just more fun to play.
That's dumb. If it was me and you and we're an alliance, you wouldn't rather play. You'd only rather play.
Well, it would also depend though. And would I literally be the automatic boot if somebody else
exactly.
won? That's the real question.
That's the question. I think.
Because if I was, then yes, I'd rather play.
Yes. And I think that's the correct answer. It's not about having fun.
It is about having fun, Will.
It's about having fun.
Your sausage game or whatever the hell you talked about for the Q&A. It's about having fun, Will.
Oh, man. Steven Sausage Rolls. I doubt anyone who's listening to Deal or No Deal podcast has ever played Steven Sausage Rolls. If you have, drop a comment. Let me know. I need to talk to someone about that game. It's fantastic. Yes, if it is a pure 50-50 chance where if I'm going in and I lose, whatever, but the other person, if they go in and they win, then I'm 100% gone like that, where it's like, okay, then sure, give me the keys because I do think you can game Deal or No Deal. I think there's a slightly above 50% chance that you win Deal or No Deal. Mm-hmm. I think so. Because you get to these deals that are brought to you and you can always play the odds. Like they rarely put it down the middle. And if they don't put it down the middle, you can always take the odds and look, it might be six cases versus five cases, but that is mm-hmm. better than 50-50. And then
we
eventually
saw tonight it was 3-2, but that was,
yeah. Really if you ever get to three cases left and there's a case and the deal, you're only going to get one side, you know, if it's two versus three and like you need to rely on the one, a 33% chance, you should always say no deal, always get to two, because then it will always be, once you open one of the three cases and there's two cases left, they're always going to put the deal in between the cases. And then that is a coin flip. So you can mm-hmm. always, you can always get your way to a coin flip at the very, very worst. It's a coin flip. It yes. shouldn't be ever any time less than a coin flip because you can always play to the end
yes.
with two cases.
Do you think that there's ever a scenario where we see somebody get all the way to the end and then say, okay, I'm going to not take my case. I'm going to go and make the deal. Do you think we'll ever see that? Because so far we've seen everybody take their case.
Yeah, I think it's tricky because if you do get all the way down to it and there's only two cases left, there's no information other than here are the two case values remaining and these are the two cases. One of them you picked at the start and one of them just sitting there up on stage. I don't know what, there's nothing that would trigger you to be like, ooh, I got to switch. I can mm-hmm. tell. Unless Joe somehow knows the value of the cases and tips something off, or you hear something over walkie from a production map. Like there's nothing within the game that would ever suggest to you, yeah, I should switch my case other than just pure fun and vibes. Like that would be the only reason.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Although you could say that on the deal before this, right? I think every time it's been a little bit higher than the middle, right? Hasn't it been a little bit higher of a deal?
But the banker doesn't know what's in your case. At least that's what we're being told. That's and true. That the offers created are just based on who's playing the game, clearly, as we saw last week with Miranda, and the case values remaining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what else do you have about this episode? Is there anything else that we need to talk about with this episode?
I don't know. I mean, it's just a bummer, man. It's a fun show. Everyone was loving it. We broke down the alliance. We broke down kind of somewhat of more crunching numbers on the deal or no deal game.
We're back next week. I mean, we'll be here. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, do all the
challenge
stuff
was fun.
The challenge was fun. I still enjoy the gameplay mechanism of it. It's dumb when you end an elimination based show without an elimination. I just think that's silly. And that's what we witnessed tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to do this, I guess that's what we could talk about. Cause I know we had got a comment from Willie D at the top that said, you know, the case should have been immunity that she could have chosen to use, but it would eliminate whatever amount was added to the prize money. Something maybe we could brainstorm for a second. If the goal of this episode is to not eliminate anybody, what is a better twist? I mean, there's probably a bunch of things, but it's not about what's in the box to be fun and cool. It's like we need to get through an episode. Like if they're doing a season two of the show, we need to get through an episode without eliminating somebody. What are some things that they could do?
Similar to what they did with the Aaron situation. You know, you could do something where, you know, you end up, you get eliminated or you're the one who loses, but you're actually being picked for something else. And now it's you're fighting for your life in the way that Aaron was, where you need to survive it. And you need to find a way to convince the rest of your players to give you what you need. And then that keeps you alive and puts somebody else up for elimination. I think that would have been, the problem here is with this ending, there was no setup for next week of like, what is the punishment?
Or what was the point of what we just did? I think that's a really good point, Phil, because I really enjoyed like Aaron being whisked away from camp and they wake up, where is he? What's going on? And we get to the challenge. He's in this throne. It was so funny. It was cool. I love the decision-making. I love it. He had all the information. We really praised that challenge and setup. And I do wonder if this week, the non-elimination week, is building up to someone being exiled from the camp or whatever that they're calling it. And you don't need to say exiled or exiled island anything.
Yeah.
But like, if they are then banished for a certain period of time and then pop up back of the challenge with some information and have some influence on the game, at least then we had an episode that had a cause and effect on the story of the season. Whereas this episode, we did the challenge, we played a whole game in the deal or no deal, and it didn't have any cause and effect on what we're going to see in the future. There's no, you could take this, you know, not the entire episode because clearly alliances were built, but that's going to happen anyway. We just take this whole round of gameplay and eliminate it from our brains because it didn't contribute to the overall narrative of like, this is what happened here. This happens and that happens. I mean, that's what
even if this was a payoff from a strategic standpoint, it's like that strategy doesn't matter as much in a game like Deal or No Deal Island. So it's hard to really take super seriously.
Right. So much of the strategy is based on who has the power to decide and then who's in the final two. That's a lot of like, a lot of it is round-to-round based strategy, which I do think is interesting where we haven't really seen some major majority alliance. Like if you have the numbers, if it's like an 8-person alliance against 3, all it takes is one of those 3 people winning the challenge or being somewhat in power or like, hey, if you have an 8-person alliance, more than likely that at least one of you, if not both of you, both of the final two members are from that majority alliance. And then what does that do? So I do appreciate that part. It's
because you're always left with the decision of do you put somebody from your alliance up or do you put somebody from your alliance at risk of being picked if you put somebody else from the alliance up, which is fun. That's a fun element of the game. But I think there were ways to make this feel like it was going to have more of a payoff next week. And I don't feel like we got
this. This was bad, man. It was bad. I'm sad for the show. I'm sad this happened.
Yeah,
I am.
Well, let's just wrap it up then. We'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be here. We'll still be recapping. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Go back and check out our other recaps if you haven't checked them out. Go check out the Godzilla video that that John and I did yesterday. That was a really fun podcast for a new series we're doing for the Cinema Specialist. Phil and Will shall be back at some point this week. We haven't locked down when we're going to do it. And our Survivor recap will be later tomorrow night, more like 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, because I'm going to a Survivor watch party, and then we'll recap after that. So...
And check out the connections. Three connections up. We got, I think, one.
And the fourth one is ready to go if you want to post it right after this.
Okay, we got another one coming out today. So yeah, that's great.
Cool. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you all next time.
See ya.